So we decided, okay, we can't have all of this unless we're healthy. So we pushed really, really intense at the gym, because to me, I believe if you push your body into hell early in the morning, the rest of the day is going to go really smooth, you know?
That in my notes. All right, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the podcast where we dive in on love, lust, relationships, dating, science, philosophy, psychology. All of that stuff matters. It all relates. So hit that subscribe button if this all sounds interesting to you, and tell a friend about the show. That's all we ask. You can find this show on iTunes and Spotify. You can share this with your friends. Super simple. Just share, click, and subscribe. Today's guest is going to be a little bit different. We don't normally interview couples, but I think it is a good time to kind of just interview them, because a lot of people are struggling out there and they're wondering, how do you hold it all together during this quarantine? And so Roger and Nina, I thought, would be a great, great idea to bring onto the show and interview them, because I love their dynamic. And so thank you for coming on the show. This is going to be an awesome, awesome conversation. And I appreciate you guys, you know, taking a little bit of your time out of your day to come on the show. So
thanks for having us.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
How's it going?
Good, good, always good.
Perfect, yeah. How's everything going in the quarantine?
It's good. You might hear our kids in the background yelling and screaming every once in a while.
Yeah, it's all good. Quarantine has been interesting for me. I've been kind of ramping up some online stuff here, as you guys can see, or if you guys have been keeping up. But I've been doing a lot of more online marketing as opposed to doing my live, focusing on live events and stuff like that. But you guys are realtors. I'm just curious how, how's that affected you guys, and how's that kind of put a dent into your day-to-day life?
But definitely slowed down a little bit.
Stand still, yeah, pretty much.
We've lost a lot of clients or deals. Well, I won't say lost, just kind of put on the back burner,
waiting to see what happens.
So some people think the market's gonna crash, some people think it's not. So uncertainty. That's one thing about Canadians. They don't like uncertainty.
So it's just been sitting around. Yeah, no, I see that. You guys have been doing some really interesting stuff at home. I love how you guys spend so much time with your children, and you really incorporate that, family vibe together, and you stay up to date and modern. So you guys were seeing how to put your TikTok on there. I saw you guys posting on there, and It's incredible to watch, because people say, oh, you're too old for TikTok and this and that, but you guys are just owning that platform. I just find that it's just really amazing. And so was it your kids doing, I guess your kids kind of got you into this whole thing where they're like, hey, mom, dad, let's do a TikTok? Or how did that all start? How did you guys decide that you guys are going to go marketing that route?
Well, it was definitely the kids. They've been into it for past couple of years, especially my daughter. But it's one of those things, just get off. Yes, TikTok, get off the screens. Yeah, they get them to get off the screens, or you join them. So we said, you know what, the heck with it. We're in quarantine. Let's join the kids, and we did. And actually, it's pretty good, because we're learning so much from them. You think you're old enough to know all this stuff. We don't. We don't know nothing compared to what they know.
And it's crazy what you can do on that thing. My daughter she'll say, okay, we'll do a video, and she'll go, okay, give it to me for a few minutes. She'll come back, and I'm like, wow.
She's extremely creative in terms of how she's editing all these videos, what she's adding to them. I mean, Rob, I don't know if you're into this, but it's a really, really fun app to be on. And we find ourselves a little too addictive sometimes.
Well, it blew up on our side. It's an app for kids. It's an app for kids, right? That's how it came out. Gives you what you're looking for. So we blew up on the 30 to 40 some odd year old people, not the kids. So it went crazy. We're at almost 4 million views. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's crazy. I'm on TikTok. I just don't post. I'm more of just kind of I watch it for entertainment, really, entertainment value, and seeing what other people are doing as well. Because it's a good way to market to younger people if that's how it is. But I'm also finding that there are people 30 and up and 40 and up on these apps as well too. So
especially with quarantine.
I think what else are you gonna do at home? And yes, it's super very addicting. I don't know if you guys remember Vine. But back in the day, Vine, there was these 15-second clips where people would make And it's just like these 15-second comedy reels or whatever. But now it's turned into like it's just absolute delirium in
That's
there.
So much
it's,
it.
But it's fun. I love it. It's yeah, it's a great way to connect with your children, I find, right? Because they're into it, right? So before we get into all that, let's dive into a little bit of your stories. Let's talk into let's start with Nina. Let's start with we had a couple drinks after we had met, actually. We talked about, you know, some of the stuff that you guys have been through. And so I was like, man, this is like perfect for a podcast. And so Nina, let's start with you. Let's talk about how your journey was when you said that you fled to Canada and then you had to do all these crazy things. And, you know, so let's start there and, dial the clock back how far you want and, you know, tell the audience a little bit about your journey and how it got started.
Well, how far do you want me to go?
She had a long swim at the beginning.
Yeah. Don't hold back.
Yeah. So I come, I was born in Iraq, in Baghdad, and had to leave when I was 14 due to the U.S. and Iraq war, the first Gulf War, and had to escape, become a refugee. So lived in a refugee camp for about 3 years. So to go back a little bit further, had to walk from Iraq to Turkey for like 2 weeks to make it to safety during the first Gulf War. And then, stayed there as a refugee for 3 years, made it to Canada in 1993.
Living in tents.
Yes. So I spent my teenage life in the tents, didn't go to school. Actually, I was in grade 9 when I left Iraq. So I had to continue my high school when I first came to Canada, which I was almost 18. I started from, you know, grade 9 and went up. And then I met Raj at, I was 20. So 1997.
That whole journey, just come meet me. Huh? Jeez.
Yeah. So I don't know if you want me to go through that journey or the journey of meeting this man.
No, for sure. I mean, like, that's a beautiful story in itself, just like how many countries and, you know, kilometers and miles you've traveled just to get to a place where you're now, like, you know, you're content, you're happy, you got a beautiful husband, you got a beautiful house, you have beautiful children, right? And so, like, it's just amazing to see the contrast in that, right? So in the time that you before, okay, so let's start with Roger now. So Roger, what were you doing when, you know, she was fighting all these you know, people in the
trying to get to all these ways to find it to get to? What were you doing?
Escaping, you know, tyranny and all this. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Mike, let's talk a little context, bit about your precursor to all this.
Before we get to Raj, I just wanted to say, to put it in context, I literally walked, I climbed mountains, I swam, I took a train, I took a bus, I took a plane to get to him. So there you go. What were you doing this whole time?
I just drove to meet her. No, I don't know. My upbringing was a little different. I mean, I grew up in not the greatest of neighborhoods, grew up in Ottawa. But, you know, had my own struggles, didn't live in a tent or anything like that, but lots of trying to stay out of jail like my friends. That's exactly what my upbringing was.
Yeah, that's where we connected on that level too. You know, I had a pretty like rough upbringing here in Canada. I mean, I can't even compare that to Nina's, but I mean, like, we, you know, as we have our own issues, like as men, when we face that, you know, we get into trouble, you know, we have all these kinds of like unique friends that kind of pull you into these dark alleyways and stuff like that. But, you know, you decide to make it out. Good to see that you made it out, and, you know, you guys are doing some amazing things. So let's talk a little bit about that. We guys met in 97. How did you guys meet?
A nightclub.
Yeah, I did. One of our mutual friend at the time was a club owner. He opened up, he had a few clubs that he owned with his brothers, and this was a new club he had opened. I went there after work with a bunch of my friends. We were working, and I was waitressing at Swiss Chalet, and we'll go back to that after. I closed that night at the restaurant. It was Saturday night, and we went to this new opening of the club. And literally, the second I walked in, I saw one of my buddies who worked with me at the restaurant. And I ran up to her. I'm like, hey, Nadine, nice to see you. We're like hugging it out. As I'm hugging her, I'm looking behind me. There's a guy at the bar. And I made her turn. I'm like, who's that guy? She turns. And she looks and she goes, oh, he's a slut. You don't want him. I'm not kidding. Those are her exact words. When she said that, I kind of...
She was dating my roommate, so...
Yeah.
She was an eyewitness.
So I just felt like I was so intrigued when she said that. I had to talk to him and get to know him.
I was 20. I was 20, living on my own.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're actually 23. I was 20.
It's in my 20s.
So yeah, that's how we met. I don't know. I think women are just drawn to guys who are confident, and that kind of exudes confidence usually, you know, like it's just and experience too, right? That's kind of like a turn on for women. It's a more of an attraction thing. So, okay, cool. You guys saw each other in the club, and then you guys, like, how did you get, like, Roger, did you approach Nina? Did you say what's up? Or like, how did that interaction go?
You know, well, she came up to me.
I approached him.
We were dancing all night and all that stuff. And then I was going to go home with my friends, but she decided to drive me home. And we just hung out in the parking lot because she lived right around the corner anyway. So we hung out in a parking lot of my townhouse. And then I went in. We hung out almost every day since.
Yeah, we saw each other every day. And to go back to driving him home, he had no license. So he couldn't drive home. He had just lost his license to driving with no insurance. So he had no car.
I was driving no insurance for like 5 years. I finally got caught.
So imagine, I just heard he's a slut. He's got no insurance, no car because of no insurance. He's got all these bad vibes around him. And yet,
I just got fired.
And he just got, yeah. And yet I chose him out of all these guys and I drove him
apparently
home.
Apparently I checked a lot of boxes.
He did. All the wrong boxes.
Even the next day she was at my house. She was at my, because I lived with like five guys in a house. Like it was a party house. So the roommate was, my roommate's girlfriend was there. And the next day, I just come back from work with a girl because a girl wanted to take me out to dinner. And Nina was sitting there plucking the eyebrows of my roommate's girlfriend. And this time she was all done up because last time she came back from a nightclub. I mean, from work. This time she was all done up and everything. So I walked in. I looked at Nina. I looked at the girl. I looked at Nina. I looked at the girl. I'm like, you got to go.
That's right. He told the girl that he was on a date with to go home. So he can come inside and spend the night with me. And he did. Yeah. We stayed up till 5 a.m. just in the kitchen table talking and just, you know, shooting shit, me and him, not, you know, just.
And some of our friends. Yeah.
Getting to know each other.
It was cool. Mm-hmm.
And so you guys became, like, sounds like you guys came, like, really, essentially best friends. You guys became best friends and decided that, like, okay, like, this is crazy how close we can really be, right, from the get-go. Because you can't spend all that time together and then. You know, not share connection for that long.
We did. I think for the first 2 years, we spent every day together, every day for 2 years.
When did you guys decided like that you guys are gonna get married? How long did you guys date for before you guys decided that you were gonna?
Good 6 years. It was a good 6 years. I mean, my family wasn't big on marriage. My parents got married on their 25th anniversary. I was legal to drink at their wedding. So it's marriage wasn't a big thing.
I wanted to get married the second date we had. I'm like, when are we gonna get married?
Yeah, her culture and marriage is like
it took him 6 years.
So,
to
6 years. Propose. Did you guys live together prior to?
Kind of, sort of. There was a little stint where, like, we met in Ottawa. So there was a little stint where we had a little apartment in Ottawa, but she had to move to Toronto with her family. They were pushing.
My parents were already here. Yeah, so I moved back here 2 years later.
So that lasted a couple months of living there, and then she moved to Toronto, but I stayed in that place and she would come down almost every weekend, so it was almost the same
for 8 months. Mm-hmm. And then he moved down to Toronto after that, so we were apart for about 8 months.
Yeah.
In about 3 years into our relationship, but we'd see each other every like 2-3 times a month.
Yeah.
And then finally he decided, you know what, I got nothing left in Ottawa, I'm moving to Toronto.
I didn't like the path I was going in Ottawa, so I said I had to change, so why not move to Toronto and start right from the get-go.
So yeah, he moved here in 2000, and that's when we pretty much started our life here.
Yep.
I love that. And so if you guys, you see Nina and Roger's Instagrams on the bottom of the screen here, and you guys go check it out, and you guys can see Nina and Roger, they're very, very fit people. They're very super into health and fitness. Like Roger is shredded, so is Nina. And you can't really tell right now, but like, were you guys always into the active lifestyle, or was it just something that you guys picked up like recently?
Well, we always were active, but we weren't as intense as we are now. We've been intense at it for past about 7 years. But before that, I mean, I worked out 3-4 days a week, but we were always active.
Well, we went a good stint before I turned 40. I don't think I hit a gym in probably a good 5-6 years because we had the kids, all that stuff. I was working. I wasn't going to the gym at all.
We were working out from home. We had our basement turned into like a mini gym. We were doing it from home, but yeah, it wasn't like as intense.
But like I said, before 40, it was non-existent for both of us. We were busy.
Yeah.
Kids work for a good 5-6 years. We weren't working out. And then when I turned 40, I said, okay, I want to change. I want to actually, the funny story of the whole change was just that we had kids and I decided to take Nina on a vacation, just the two of us for about 3 days. And we didn't have the kids. So we didn't want to go to a place that had kids. So we went to an adults only resort and a party resort where we could have fun. So we went there and in Cancun and had fun, partied with a lot of friends and stuff like that. But there was this one guy that was in the pool that caught Nina's eye. He said, oh my God,
this guy's hot.
And he was ripped, like just ripped. Don't even remember what he looks like, anything else. I just remember he was ripped and all that stuff. And I used to sit there and think, I wanted to look at me with those eyes. You know what I mean? So I wanted to change the way I looked when I turned 40. So I started working out and doing all that stuff. So I pretty much made that happen.
He's like, if you're going to look at guys looking like that, I'm going to turn myself into that. So he did.
But it was like a jealousy inside of me that she was looking at this other guy. But I'm like, in my head, I was like, I can't because I'm looking at that girl. You know what I mean? Like, I'm doing it myself. Like, I can't sit there and fault her for looking at some guy for looking good. So.
And I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, biologically, we cannot help ourselves but to stare and look at, you know, just whatever it is that appeals to us, right? And so, yeah, I mean, if it's muscles and whatever, then yeah, it's something that's appealing. But like to women, it's not just the muscles. It's, I think it's like, you know, it's he's strength, he's strong, he makes me feel safe. It's more the feelings, right? But then the guys are like, yeah, let me get ripped because I look, it's gonna look so sick and this and that, right? So, but either way, it works out. It gives you confidence. And now I love how you guys do that because I mean, you guys are like the full package. When I think about it, you guys have a really great relationship. You guys have beautiful children. You guys get along really well together. And then you guys are realtors together. You guys have the same business. You guys work together as a team.
You spend a lot
selling houses, like dope, right? And then you guys have this whole fitness thing to yourself, where it's just this health realm, and it's just like these three the main things that most people struggle with is money, you know, relationships and health. And so when you guys tie in all of that and you guys can bring it in together in like such a cohesive unit, this is why it makes for such a great conversation, right? So let's dive in on some of that. What are some of the key things that work for you so well in terms of like something tactical that people can take home in their advice? Because if there's someone like you listening in and they're like, you know what, let's ramp up our whatever life, our health life, our sex life, our whatever life, like what are some like non-negotiable tips that you can offer couples that is going to help enhance their lives pretty much?
Well, one thing that Nina and I said when we got married or just before we got married, is we kind of said we'll always work on helping each other stay attracted to each other.
We actually pinky promise each other when we got engaged. So this is a true story.
We're going to stay looking good to each other. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you see a lot of married couples. Like I got a lot of good friends that, you know, when in high school, they were, you know, good looking football player, blah, 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 blah. And then you see them now and, you know, they watch too much football and you know what I mean? They're just big and round and whatever. They don't take care of themselves, sloppy. I'm not saying a fitness standpoint. I mean, even before the fitness stuff came in, it was just like, I got to dress good. I want to make sure I look good, dress good, because, you know, if I'm walking around in jogging pants and a ripped t-shirt all day, how attractive am I to her and vice versa?
It is not just that. It was always with me, Rob, was always the concept of looking good, feeling good. Yeah. So when we got engaged, we were literally in his Acura in front of Yorkdale Mall. And he asked me to marry him. And I looked at him, I said, look,
romantic.
we have to promise each other to stay true to ourselves, meaning healthy. And that means you have to be fit. And we did. We literally pinky promised each other. And we were always, always fit and healthy. But when we had the kids, we kind of fell off of that for the first 5 years.
Because you're busy, right?
Because kids, we started our new career, which in real estate, we both just had started right before we had the kids. So we were pushing all of our energy and effort into that and our kids. And we're like, so the only part that was missing was that, the health. So we decided, okay, we can't have all of this unless we're healthy. So we pushed really, really intense at the gym. Because to me, I believe if you push your body into hell early in the morning, the rest of the day is going to go really smooth, you know, because that's the hardest thing to do is work your body. Yeah. And that's what we did. And to do that internally, you feel amazing. And in your relationship just automatically flows. I don't care what anybody says. For us, it's always worked that way. Yeah. If you work out, we feel good. We treat each other good.
Yeah.
And then our kids and then our business.
And if you're attracted to each other all the time, then it's hard not to make the relationship work. I mean, you know what I mean? Like I was out all morning trying to make it here on time to meet with you, which I did like 12:59. I got here and you know, you know that you're walking into, and I can't wait to hug her and grab her, whatever, you know, that kind of stuff. Say hi. You know, if you don't have anything, if you're actually, I don't want to say despise your wife or whatever, you know, some people just, their wife is just a partner, the one to take care of their kids. You're not excited about coming home. You're not, you know, you're just coming home because you're probably hungry. So,
but it just ties in, ties into our relationship. Honestly, it ties into that. The base of it is that we are physically healthy and everything else works out. It just happens because from inside, if I worked out in the morning, I feel amazing all day long. So I act on those feelings. All my actions are because I felt good in the morning. Do you know what I mean? So it works for us.
So to me, attraction, and of course, we got to have fun in everything we do. Got to have fun.
Exactly. When you get rid of the health portion part out of the way really quick and your body feels good, you make better decisions. And not only that, your mind is freed up to make better decisions instead of thinking, oh, my health is bad. Oh, I need to go to the gym, or oh, just get that part out of the way like quick. Because I mean, like, you guys obviously have a million things you have to do in the day. Not worry about working out or eating healthy. That's just something that I routinely do, and it takes care of itself. Yeah. But I love how you just say that, like, you guys made it a commitment to say attracted to each other, not just in a physical sense, but in a growth-minded sense, like make your brain beautiful, make your body beautiful. I love that because, you know, a lot of people just think, you know, there's, you know, we let, like you said, they let themselves go. They get a little bit round around the edges, and you know, they don't feel confident enough. And then as a man, sometimes when we get home from work, it doesn't make us desire the person that we're with. And so, I mean, it's just, it goes hand in hand. And I mean, obviously later when you guys get older and older, it won't be as difficult to keep up with these traditions that you guys have. And so I love that, and I think anybody listening in can take that to their home and, you know, incorporate that into their lives. When you talk about your – sure, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it's also like growing together. Like, you know, a lot of couples, what they do is they'll have separate lives, completely separate lives. Like one goes to their job, the other one goes to their job, and it's only for the maybe 2 hours that they're at home chilling together that they're together, and they're not really together, you know. You're home, now it's your turn to take care of the kids or whatever the case may be,
or the cooking or this or that,
but they don't grow together. So years go by and then all of a sudden you're this person and she's that person, and you're not the same anymore. You don't know them. So, you know, people have different goals and aspirations. You communicate them and you grow together.
100%. You guys basically feel like the communal area that you guys fill together, you grow that together, not just, hey, you do this, you do that. Like it's togetherness that I love. And so I'm sure your kids see this of you. And I'm curious, are you more of a, I guess, lead by example type of parents, or are you more or less kind of like, let's sit down, have a talk about why or how, and have deep conversations with them, and or is it kind of like a combination of both?
Yeah, I was going to say a combination of both.
Combination of both, but it is more of a lead by example, because I grew up, I personally believe, and everyone has their own opinion, I believe our kids are our minis. We are their number one role models. Yeah, they're at school for 8 hours, seven, but if you deeply think about this, like go down deep, our kids are us. Exactly us in every way. They don't get their friends. Yeah, we say they hang out with the wrong people, this is that, but it's the foundation that it's from home. So if we are a certain way, our kids are gonna be that way as well. If we want them to be, you know, for my kids to be straight up, I gotta be straight up for them. with them. You know what I mean? So it's lead by example mostly, but we do talk to them all the time. I mean, they come home from school, and I've made it a point for the past 4 years is to be home with them between 3:30 and 6 o'clock every day, so I can interact and see what happened at school. Because I want them to bring that home, but I want to also leave that all those personalities and relationships they made outside of school. And how do we do that? By us talking to them every day and letting them know, look, you learn all that, but that's not you. That's going to stay there. You are here. You are different. You know what I mean?
And we do get some, don't do what I do what I say moments as well. So
yeah, absolutely. Lots of those times. Let me put it this way. So we swear so much, Roger and I, and our kids are 12 and 13. To this day, they have not sworn. No. Their kids make fun of them at school because they don't swear.
It's funny. Like, they'll get mad at us. Why do you have to swear so much? I'm like, I don't know. It just comes up. It just comes.
They actually say to us, we should put a swear jar at home for you too, for me and dad. And they still don't.
I wouldn't be able to afford it.
Well, they do say that people who swear a lot generally are more trustworthy people. So that's a good thing. I mean, I wouldn't really look at it as a bad thing. It's just they're so damn honest with themselves that they don't care about swearing or whatever. Yeah. And so that makes them such a trustworthy person. Yeah, it's actually true. That's awesome. And is there any, like, okay, so you said 12 and 13. I'm curious, what are the ages that you will allow them to start dating?
You know, recently we've been talking about this throughout this quarantine. Every day we have breakfast, lunch, and dinner together, and we had a lot more of family conversations. My daughter, before, she would say no, she would never date. Now she's been asking, so when is the age? So I blurted out the other day, it just came out, I said 18, and they both looked at each other like yes, because I used to say you're not gonna get married or date till you're 30, and then the other day I just said 18 and they both got really excited. I was like, damn it.
But it's
now it's gotta be 18.
But it's one of those things. I grew up with a sister and all that kind of stuff. And it's one of those things where you kind of play it by ear. Like, you see how they're grown up and you see who they're with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you could say you can't date till 18, but you don't think they're going to get a boyfriend at 16.
That's the thing. As parents, just because we're teaching them, we're learning too. I'm learning all their personalities, what they're about. Like, I trust my daughter sometimes more than I trust myself. She's so honest. She's so truthful. She can't do wrong. She is such a good kid. And if she continues that way and she comes up to me at 16 and says, Mom, obviously I'm going to listen. I'm going to be open-minded about it. I'm not going to be that. I'm not going to be my dad who would say, you're not even allowed to look at a boy until you're 30. You know, mind you, I met him at 20.
That's part of the reason why I work out. I'm hoping by the time she dates, I'll be able to get a face tattoo or something. Maybe a couple teardrops, and it'll say daughter's ex-boyfriends on them.
Show up in your gun holsters, and you know, just as a kind of thing. Have a little whiskey in your hand, cigar in your mouth for sure. I love that, and you know, it's definitely the growth thing that you guys keep coming back to, and I love that. Is, you know, part of growth is being able to adjust, right? Like, a part, and that's what I'm hearing a lot from you is that. You know, we can make all these rules, we can say all these things, but at the ultimate end of the day, it's a situation by situation kind of thing. Yeah. So
absolutely.
I love how we kind of,
there's one thing I say, like, when we look back, like, we'll sit there and say, oh, I wish we would have been doing this, whatever we were doing, you know, 10 years ago when we first got married and all stuff. And I'm like, but we weren't there yet. So we grew into what we're doing now. We grew into this. Like, I wouldn't be the same if I all of a sudden I had everything that I have now.
No.
And it was 10 years ago when I was that age. I had to, you know, work my ass off a little bit, put the grind in. And then you sit there and say, okay, well, now I'm a little bit more comfortable. But back then, if I would have done it then, I don't think it would have been the same.
We change as we grow. Yeah. We change, like, every few years, we find ourselves in a different, you know, direction. But the beauty part of us is we're going at it the same wave, him and I. We're like, okay, now we got to do this. Now we're onto this. Now, you know what I mean? Like, so our life, the way we're directing it, just sort of, it's flowing. Really, but we're changing.
We're weird. We do everything together.
Really weird. We're not normal people.
She went away with my daughter to...
But hey, I mean, it's working for you.
Yeah, it's working 100%. I don't think I want it any other way.
She went away with my daughter to the Bahamas, just the two of them. And I was here with my son, and both her and my daughter would FaceTime us like 24/7. Like, I mean, guys, you're at a beach. Go.
We missed the boys.
Go do stuff. Why are you FaceTiming us every 2 minutes? Like, we should have been with you then, you know? So,
and that's such a healthy attachment, because, you know, that's one thing that I wished I had with, you know, my parents too, is like that ability, not FaceTime, but I mean, at least just pick up the phone, and then we have these conversations where we're so open with each other. We have, there's no stone left unturned. I'm not scared to approach you with anything. And, you know, I think it's just a good dynamic for children, because it gives them such the space to thrive, right? And then not only that, like, you become more or less anxious or worried about what they're doing in their lives, because they're coming to you without force, and you know, confiding in you with all of this information that they go through. And so, man, I just encourage you guys to keep doing the same thing, and, you know, hopefully you guys can keep spreading this to other families and other people who can learn from this, because, you know, it's tough out there. It's a struggle, you know. I mean, with kids at home for however long, like, I mean, we don't know like how much longer it's going to be, and then it's tough for a lot of people. So it's good to see that you guys have a system working for you. I'm curious. So we met at Jay Wong's Podcast Your Brand intensive seminar. We were, I guess, in the middle of either creating a podcast or we had a podcast, and so now I'm curious, what, when are you guys coming up with your show?
Actually, very, very soon, a matter of weeks.
Jay's putting it all together for us. We're working on all the details and stuff like that. It's going to be a relationship show. It's going to be called Head Over Heels. And it's basically just about what we just talked about, stuff like that, learning how to love each other and learning how to know her the way she accepts love, the way I accept love, the way your spouse does, whatever, because people can go through their whole marriage not knowing how to love their partner.
Yeah, absolutely. And just us.
100%, and I love that.
Just our life, how we've managed to worked it for past 23 years, you know. It hasn't been always easy, Rob. It's been many, many ups and downs, and pivoting and adjusting and doing things a certain way to make it work. And that's all what the podcast is going to be about, is how we navigated our life to this point. And now we're asking others to help us to go forward together still. But
yeah, so basically the people, you know, we're going to be interviewing, the people we're going to be interviewing or and talking to are going to help others grow as well as us, because we don't know it all, but we're, you know, we're out there to learn for sure.
So to answer your question, a couple more weeks, I think, sure, and our podcast is going to be on too.
I can't wait to plug that out for you guys, because it's going to be such a good, I don't know, like, it's when you hear the perspective of the couples actually going through it, I think there's so much more value to be had there. And that's my personal opinion, right? So like, if anybody like is listening to this, I'm going to definitely plug that in. And when you guys have that launch, let me know. I'm going to share it out, because I think it'll make for a great show, great conversation.
Yeah. And you know what? I wish sometimes how we had that as we were going through our relationship, the beginning, the middle, now, if there was podcasts like this, I would have loved to listen to them to, you know, I mean, we did everything ourselves, and we're going to talk about how our experience was, but I wish there was something like this when we had our relationship, when we started to guide us through it, you know?
Exactly.
Get there faster. I mean, we've learned through a lot of, we've taken many courses, and not all the time, these courses were not always taken to find out more about us and our relationship. You know, I don't know if you ever heard of Landmark Forum. We did that because we thought it was a
good for our business.
It would help with sales and how to talk to people and all that kind of stuff. And what it did nothing for real estate, but did everything for our relationship.
Our relationship, yeah.
Because it got so much stronger knowing the thoughts in our head are not the exact same thoughts that she has in her head. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And I can't wait to dive in onto your podcast and listen to those dynamics, because I think that'd be a great thing for me to listen to as well. It helps me with this, helps me with my show for sure. That's awesome. And so 3 weeks, plug Head Over Heels, check out Nina and Roger's podcast. It's coming soon. I'm going to probably put this episode up this Thursday. So it'll probably be another 3 weeks after that. So you guys can definitely get on that. But I wanted to ask you before we get into the random five, which is, we talked a lot about all the things that worked. We talked a little bit about, you know, some of the successes that you guys have, you know, went through and things like that. But I'm curious, like, what was the biggest struggle that you guys faced as a couple? You mentioned a little something about it, but like, what was the biggest thing that you guys had to, I guess, deal with, or maybe you guys are still dealing with it, or maybe what's that one thing that you guys are kind of over the hill with, or it was just a big struggle?
Well, first of all, we both came from a different background, totally different upbringing, both of us. So combining those two different backgrounds, it was really difficult to do. Just our wedding alone was totally different because I had like 300 people and he had like 50 people in our wedding. So it was just from that dynamic was extremely different. So coming from two different worlds and putting it all into one, creating our own little world was extremely hard. I wanted things to be done my way. He wanted them his way. So combining those together, you know, just having kids, he wasn't ready to have kids. He was like, babe, I haven't even grown up. And he was 30. And I was 27, and I'm like, you know what? We got to start. And, you know, we start thinking about that stuff. And that was tough because we weren't agreeing on a few things. Business-wise, financial, it was always hard, you know?
I think our biggest struggle that we had, which is anybody's, is controlling what we're thinking. You know what I mean? Like I was telling you before about, you know, what I think is not the same thing she thinks. So sometimes, let's say you're not happy with the way you are in your career or whatever, you're going to sit there in your head and say, oh, it's because I'm with her. She held me back or whatever. You're trying to find an excuse. So we kind of let that part go and know that I'm in control of what I think and what I do, and she's in control of what she thinks and what she does. I didn't stop her from anything. She's not stopping me from anything. So I can go forward. I tell her about where I want to go. And if she says, oh, that's great, I want to go with you, or, you know, that kind of stuff. So it worked. The communication part was a little bit more difficult. But we managed to get around it.
Yeah. There's a lot of controlling issues and, I wouldn't say anything but that. I think there's a controlling and the fact that we didn't know each other as well as we do now. That was tough.
Well, your backgrounds are different, right? So she's one of nine children, Middle Eastern. So the men are very dominant and very, you know, they take control. Her growing up saying, I don't want a man to control me. So even though I'm not trying to control her, it's in her mind thinking that I'm trying to control her. So it's always, there's always some, you know, tension there to get around it. Then when you realize, oh, well, he's not trying to control me. He's trying to see if he wants to go that way. Do you want to go? Or I want to go that way. Do you want to go? That kind of stuff.
And that just came from self-awareness and all the, you know, fact that we figure out who we are, you know, and what language you speak and what language I speak, right?
Yeah. Our love language.
For sure. And I love how you distinguish that, because I've been sitting here, you know, in the trenches, just trying to put some together for couples as well, because, you know, one of the main struggles that they go through is understanding that, yes, we are coming from two different sides of the coin. And more or less, it's always like from a female perspective and a male perspective, there's always this masculine feminine kind of dance that we do. And the controlling aspect, I mean, both men and women have that. We're able to exude that. And that's just part of who we are, right? But it's just about communicating and coming above that kind of, and I call those the shadow traits. It's the stuff that like it exists inside of us, yet you know, we don't want to let that come to the surface, right? But it's still part of who we are. Humans try to hide it all the time and pretend like, oh, I'm all like, their shit doesn't stink. But yeah, like everyone has this controlling innateness into them,
for part sure. of that.
And it's just something that we got to accept. But like what you guys are saying is that you guys come above that, you communicate and say, look, there's compromise above this control. And there's things that, and I guess like some people can kind of get confused, you know, when a man does it, they'll think, oh, he's coming off too strong, or he's trying to be like this, you know, manipulative man. But no, he's actually just trying to lead, and he's asking you to follow, really kind of in his footsteps and saying, like, I kind of been through some pain, I felt, you know, this is probably not the route to go, so maybe you shouldn't either, kind of thing. And that comes off as controlling, when it's really like, you know, I'm leading in that sense, where I'm saying, like, I saw and I put my foot in danger. And I'm like, look, honey, you don't want to go there, right? It's like, yeah, it's a bad territory and stuff like that. So, no, I love that. And I think that's the biggest perspective.
Sorry, from my perspective was too, is like I was the one, from my pain of not wanting to be controlled, I was actually in turn controlling him. And I didn't realize that till I really got down and to the bottom of it. And I was like, shit, I am controlling him. That's where our issues was. Like we used to fight to the point that he left the house twice and he came back the next day. He stayed in a hotel overnight. And I was like, okay, this is not going to happen. Like we got to figure this out. And it wasn't until I figured out what I was creating, which was we were being enemies because I was trying to control him, because I was so afraid for him not to control me, right?
Well, you know what? We love so for hard, sure. But we fight just as hard, so it's all good.
Yeah, that's good though. I mean, that's the highs and the lows. Those are the normal things that most people are afraid to talk about in their relationships. So it's great that you guys are talking about it because it makes people now feel like, hey, I'm not alone in this, right? Like this is a normal thing, and I'm sure they all feel like that. But just to hear it, it's more reassuring and things like that. So I love that. Okay, let's segue a little bit. We got a little bit of time to dive into the random five. So we're gonna ask you guys individually five random questions, kind of rapid fire. Spit them out as it comes to your brain. If you could be any animal in the world, what would it be and why?
Me, I'm gonna be a tiger.
Then I'll be the lion.
All right.
I've always enjoyed the strength of the tiger.
Did you swear on your show?
I guess lion is on. Yeah, yeah. We're this is not a kid friendly show at all.
And I've always been attracted to pussy.
Yeah.
Of course.
So the lion part is good.
love it, man. If I just totally lost what I was gonna say. Okay, once quarantine is over, where are you guys planning to go? Like if you guys could hop on a plane anywhere in the world, where would you guys want to go and why?
Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas.
Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were talking about it the other day. We really enjoy Vegas and we haven't been for a long time. Actually, a friend of mine gave me this term. We haven't been in a long time, BC, before Corona. We haven't been to Vegas in a while, so we really, really miss it, and we miss our friends up there. So definitely next trip, if everything opens up, is Cosmopolitan in Vegas.
Yeah, then the reason why, because Vegas it's an adult playground. I want to go to an adult playground. I want to go and see adults, human. I spent 3 months with my kids. I love them to death. I think I need human interaction people that I can talk to.
For sure. And I love that other balance that you guys have too, is like you guys have your own separate life from your family, which I love. So
we perfect. Do.
We're manifesting here. We hope you guys get to Vegas. You guys have a favorite book you're reading right now? Is there a favorite or is there something that you want to share with the group?
I just finished Mark Manson's, what is it called?
The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
The Art of Not Giving a Fuck.
Yes,
it was so good. I read it in a week. I didn't want to put that book down. It was so good. Now I'm getting his second one. The, what is it called? The Not Giving.
Something about Not Giving a Fuck.
Yeah, his new book.
No, there's a few that I like. I really like Shoe Dogs. The one about Nike.
Yeah, Shoe Dog Millionaire.
Shoe Dog Millionaire. Yeah,
is that what it's called? Shoe Dog Millionaire? Yeah. I didn't see the millionaire part. I thought it was just Shoe Dogs.
Because you don't care about the money.
and one that I'm reading now, I mean, I'm it's good. It's called Love Languages. And that kind of, it was more to help us with our podcast, learning more about
Mr. Gary Chapman.
Gary Chapman. It's a good book.
Yeah.
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I'm going to try to get him on my shows at one point. For sure. It was such a classic book that kind of helped me open my eyes. But this was post my divorce. I should have been doing all that beforehand, right? That's kind of why this whole podcast is off. But no, I love how you mentioned that. Okay, quick. If you could have a dinner or a conversation with somebody who's passed away right now, who would it be and why?
Like somebody in our family or somebody like famous?
It could be someone famous. It could be someone in your family. Doesn't matter.
Dinner with somebody.
I'd be my mommy. I'd have a conversation with my mom. Actually, I thought of her the other day. I was like, you know what? If she was here right now, it would be a lot easier, let me tell her, because I spent 3 years with her in the lockdown, so this would have been a lot better. But I have my kids, so it's all good.
Yeah, and the same thing. My dad passed away at 54, so probably sit down pops and my, you know, his buddies that all passed away around the time too, like my godfather, all that kind of stuff. So they all passed away pretty young. So I'd have a nice little table of the past.
That's awesome. That's beautiful. And that's another thing I find that is probably keeping you guys so closely connected to each other, you know, having lost somebody. Cause like, I couldn't imagine having lost my mom or my dad, like at such a young age, right? Like we always think that they're supposed to be there for us till forever. Right. But we want them to be, right. But
I know what, going back to that, I think Roger married me because of his dad. We both actually were staying over his dad when he passed, as he was passing. And right before he passed, he told Roger, we were dating for about 2 years. He told him, you better marry her. She's the one.
She's the only one that liked him.
And he said that to him. He's like, you better marry her. We were only dating for 2 years at that time. So we both witnessed our parents passing. And we witnessed his dad passing. And he was with me when my mom passed. So,
but that was very rough around the edges. Very rough around the edges kind of guy. And like I said, when he... But I was kind of set up knowing that he wasn't going to live too long, because you used to always tell us, I'm not going to be an old man, so get used to me now. I'm dying before I get old. So got used to it.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's beautiful. That's why I love asking this question. Okay, last question of the random five is, do you guys have any weird eating habits? Do you ever get called out at the dinner table for something? So I have this weird eating habit. I'll take no tomatoes on anything, but I'll eat ketchup or like tomato sauce or things like that, but I just won't eat raw tomatoes. It's weird, right?
You're the opposite of me. I love tomatoes. What would yours be?
I don't know. I know I like a lot of sweets. I'll have like, if I go to a wedding, my dessert plate would be bigger, if not the same size as my dinner plate.
My weird eating habit is, okay, going back to where I came from, how I grew up in Iraq, so we eat a lot of Middle Eastern food. And growing up, my mom used to make a lot of bone broth with bones in the food. So I suck on the bones to get the broth, the bone marrow out, and he hates it. He's like, stop sucking on the bones. The bone
is like this big, round, and circumference.
So yes, that's my one habit that is pretty weird. But it's fun. I like it.
Oh, that's so fun. Nina, you just brought me back, because my dad too, like my parents came from a wartime, kind of like the Korean War. And so like, yeah, they made a lot of bone broth and stuff like that too. And my dad would teach me, like, this is how you eat it, son. You got to suck the marrow.
That's right. Your dad is my generation, I guess. Because
yeah.
That's how
I find that anybody who kind of grows up in like a war-torn country and then you're just trying to escape from, you know, whatever tyranny at the time, you know, they all kind of have the same similar upbringings. And
you know why that is, right? You know why that is, Rob?
How come?
Because growing up in that environment, there's not much food. You eat whatever's on your plate. So if it's bones, you eat them, whatever it is. So seriously, you grow up, there's a little bit of it for everybody. So you got to do what you got to do to survive. That's
for
how
sure. I mean, I'm lucky. Yeah, I'm lucky that they came here and gave me such a great life to live, because I wouldn't know what it would have been like to grow up in that kind of thing. So, you know, kudos to, you know, everybody who's in charge of all that, the immigration policies in Canada and all that, for letting my parents in, you know, because like that was literally, you know, the kicker for everything. But
it was kind of the same thing for me, like, growing up too. I mean, I grew up in a white family, so I had to really make sure I finished my hamburger helper on time at dinner, craft dinner and stuff. I got to make sure I finish it, my whole plate.
Oh man, funny. I just can't wait for you guys' podcast. This is going to be so good. Okay, so that brings us to the end of the random five. I plugged you guys on the bottom here on Instagram. Is there anywhere else that people can get a hold of you? What else are you guys putting out? If you're from Toronto as well, because you guys do real estate as well too, so plug that.
You can come to our Instagram, DM us, all that kind of stuff. We do have our website is on for the Head Over Heels, so it's headoverheels.com or headoverheelsshow.com, or I also got the hohshow.com.
We're also on TikTok. We're under the Girton family.
No,
the
T-Dot family.
Yeah. The T-Dot family on TikTok.
T-Dot underscore.
And that's where we are now. That's where we're spending most of our time on social, really.
If you want a good laugh.
With the kids.
Yeah, we play there.
Yeah, it's very funny.
Sweet. Love it. Okay, I'm going to plug all of that stuff in, and I'm going to take you guys to the last part of the show. And it's mostly because, you know, I try to leave off with something, I guess, positive and something for people who are going through something right now. I mean, most people find me after a divorce, separation, heartbreak, and it's a tough time. Sometimes we don't see the light at the end of the tunnel. And so, you know, what's some advice that you guys have come across, or what's something that you guys do when, you know, you're experiencing a heartbreak that you could share with us?
So our podcast is going to be that. It's going to be the pre-divorce podcast. Hopefully we'll help people not to get to that point. That's what our, you know, the purpose of our show is to help people get to the point to get to know each other and fix their problems before they get to the divorce.
Well, it's funny you ask that, because I thought of something today. For whatever reason, it came in my head. And it said, like, the way I used to date somebody before, I used to only realize that I liked them after they were gone. So you only see how much you love something till after it's gone. So try to see it beforehand and appreciate while it's here.
Me is being honest. Honestly, 23 years together, but Rob, the one thing I tell couples to have is honesty, because without it, nothing works. You know what I mean? So we are 100% honest with each other. I mean, in every way, whether we like it or not, whether it's good or bad, honesty has to come first.
So if she asks me if she looks fat in the pants, I always say the pants have nothing to do with it.
As you can see, and humor does go a long way as well. So thank you.
Speaking of humor, I know your audience is like your divorced man or whatever, that kind of stuff. So I'll give you a little joke. What's the difference between a pregnant woman and a light bulb? You can unscrew the light bulb.
I knew it had something to do with that. All right, Roger and Nina, thank you so much for coming on the show. I appreciate you guys so much.
Thank you
for having us. We'd love to have you on our show.